Radio friends, I'm glad again to come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to continue from where we stopped last time on this topic, your choices can make or break you. In our previous discussion, I said we will examine this topic from two perspectives. One, an example of somebody in the scriptures whose choices, good choices, made. And then another person, another character in the scriptures also, whose choices broke. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have now to look into your word. And I'm praying, Father, that you speak to the hearts of us all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've already observed that life is a series of choices. And choices are what decisions are made of. To choose is to decide, and not to choose is also to decide, but in the negative sense, because you can make decisions either by design or by default, but the former is the wiser way to go. We also observed that there must be at least two alternatives to have a choice. God gave Israel two alternatives. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, where he said, I have placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He encouraged them to choose blessing, to choose life. We also saw that Joshua, in his farewell address to Israel, in Joshua 24, verse 15, gave them three alternatives. Either the gods their forefathers worshipped in awe of the Chaldeans, that's a reference to Abraham or Abraham's father, or the God of the Amorites, whose lands they were to possess, or Jehovah. But he said, as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. This choice of the person to serve, the person to worship, is not a minor choice. Like the choice of what to eat, what to wear, it's a major choice because it determines ultimately what happens to your well-being here and now and hereafter. It determines what happens to your character, because the one you worship will influence your character, and then it determines what your destiny will be. Your choices can make or break you. We saw how Ruth, the woman from Moab, made wise choices that made her a worshiper of the true God, made her a prominent person in the history of Israel. She ultimately became the great-great-grandmother of King David. And through that line, the Messiah came. You can see how important choices are. Today, we shall see an example of one who was broken literally and figuratively by his bad choices. It is the story of Samson in Judges chapters 13 through 16. We cannot read all that, you know, but we'll read relevant portions as we get to them. The book of Judges is the story of the painful consequences of a nation's bad choices. It was a time when Israel went up and down, back and forth in its relationship with God. They would take two steps forward in their relationship with God and three steps backward. And of course, when you take two steps forward and three backwards, you know that you will never make progress. And each time they backslid, God would leave them at the mercy of a heathen enemy. And they would return in repentance to God, only to go back again worshiping idols. Samson was born under an unusual circumstance as a deliverer of Israel at a time when Israel was spiritually and morally down and out. But the life of Samson is marked by a series of bad choices that gradually compromised his service to God and to Israel. Series of bad choices that eventually broke him, literally, and ruined his destiny. Let's look at some of the choices that Samson made. Choice number one, carelessness with his Nazarite vow. Samson was born a Nazarite, and there is no doubt that Samson knew his commission and his mission. As a Nazarite, He was not supposed to touch any dead body, animal or human. Making a vow or a promise is a choice, and keeping a promise or a vow is also a choice. Radio friend, do not make promises carelessly. Be deliberate when you make these choices and make them wisely. When you break a promise, you have made a bad choice, as Samson did with his Nazarite vow. It is no wonder this instruction of yesteryears, before you make a promise, consider well its importance, and when made, engrave it upon your heart. Why is it necessary to engrave this promise upon your heart so you do not break it? The promises you have chosen to make can make or break you. Young lady in Radio Land, do not promise to marry a man who, in the courtship stage, you have discovered he has an uncontrollable anger. He will break things when he's angry. He will bang doors when he's angry. He will throw things. If you continue and go ahead and marry such a man, the moment you say, "I do," from that time, you will become a punching bag. Samson was careless with his Nazarite vow. Judges chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. After some time, when he returned to get her, that's the woman he insisted he would marry. I wouldn't include that in one of his bad choices because the Bible says that God was in it. That was a Philistine woman. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass, the dead body of the lion he killed earlier on one of his trips to see this woman he was to marry. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. His parents would have been very much afraid. They would have been very much disturbed. He kept it from them. He was careless with his Nazarite vow. He touched a dead animal. But things were still moving fine with him. Choice number two, cracking an expensive, silly joke. The night before he was supposed to take this wife, he cracked an expensive joke. We find that in Judges chapter 14, from verse 12. Then Samson said to them, to the young men who came to the party, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle, that we may hear it." So he said to them, verse 14, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Now for 3 days, they could not explain the riddle. To cut a long story short, they eventually went to Samson's betrothed wife and made her extract the right answer from Samson. Samson then divulged the answer to them. And so he owed them what he promised. Look at what happened in verse 19. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him," Samson, "mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house." You see, Samson cracked this expensive, silly joke. Why do I say that it is expensive? This joke was expensive because it cost 30 men their lives unnecessarily. It is not true that words are cheap. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have warned in Matthew 12, verse 36, Every idle word that men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Words are not cheap. Words are expensive. No wonder the psalmist prayed in Psalm 141 verse 3. Psalm 141 verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Ready, friends, we have seen so far two bad choices of Samson. Carelessness with his Nazarite vow. Cracking an expensive, silly joke. Very costly joke. It cost 30 men their lives. When we come back next time, we'll continue with Samson's bad choices. But for now, I want to say, from now on, radio friend, be very, very careful. Pray that God will give you wisdom in making choices. For choices can make or break. Father, we thank you for the time we have spent together. It's my prayer, dear Lord, that the words that we have heard will produce desirable fruit in our lives, helping us to make wise choices in life so that our future, our destiny, our well-being will not be impaired. In Jesus' name, amen.